Appreciate the prayer that Mike led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Bruce leading us in song as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And appreciate the good reading of the scripture that Carlos just gave for us there from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles opened up there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to spend all our time there this evening as we look at Paul's last recorded words. You see, a person's last recorded words can be of significance for a number of reasons. For instance, it has been said that one's last words truly reveal the condition of their heart and that which is most important to them. Likewise, it has been said that one's last words often create commitment, determination, and meaning that outlives the person who speaks them. Now, I venture to say that many of us here this afternoon can recall the last words that a loved one once spoke to us. I venture to say that most of us here can relate to that. We can recall some last words that a precious dear loved one spoke and left us with. And I venture to say that if you are one who recalls that, that those last words probably still resonate with you, don't they? They probably still resonate with you this very day. And recently, I was thinking about the last time I spoke to an older gospel preacher whom I dearly loved. Many of you probably knew him. His name was Tom Wheeler. Some of you probably knew Tom. Tom was very dear to me. And I was just thinking here recently about the last time I saw and got to talk with Tom before he died. And as I was thinking about some of the last words that he spoke to me and some of the advice that he gave me, I got to thinking about the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul that we find recorded here to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find Paul's last recorded words, which truly reveal the condition of Paul's heart. It truly reveals that which was most important to him. And when you think about these last recorded words of Paul, I believe that they not only created commitment, determination, and meaning for Timothy, but I likewise believe that they can create commitment, determination, and meaning for us today. So, with these thoughts pressed upon our minds, let's take some time to examine Paul's last recorded words here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's make some points of application for us today. And let's just begin reading there again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Here Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Here are confident words of preparedness that are spoken by the Apostle Paul. You think about the fact, as Paul was writing at this time to Timothy, Paul knew that he was about to be put to death. He knew that his life upon this earth was about to come to an end. And what did he say? He says, "I am ready." He says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." You think about Paul and how earlier in his life he was torn between life and death. As we think about the words that he wrote there in Philippians chapter 1. He was torn at that point in time in his life between life and death, wasn't he? But here we see, as Paul acknowledges that he's being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand, he's prepared. He's ready. And I think we all need to be mindful of these confident words of preparedness that the Apostle Paul speaks of here in verse 6 as Christians today. You see, Paul could confidently say that he was prepared to die because he lived a life serving God in a way that pleases God. And because he dedicated his life to service of the Lord, because he dedicated his life to be a servant of the Lord, Because he did so faithfully, he could confidently say, "I'm ready to die." We go on to see there in verses 7 and 8 where Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the faith. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Here the Apostle Paul speaks words of triumph and hope. You think about these words of Paul. You think about how he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Those are words of triumph. Those are words of a man who endured hardship and affliction. And those are assured words of success. I think about these words of Paul, about how he says, "I have fought the good fight." And I think about how he, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, instructed Timothy to do just that. Remember that there in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12? Paul's instruction to Timothy was what? Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Paul practiced what he preached, didn't he? Here we see where Paul not only instructed young Timothy to do that, but he did that himself. You see, he had fought the good fight of faith. He had kept the faith. And he had finished his race. He knew that again his life was about to come to an end. He knew he was about to cross that finish line. And now he was looking forward to that, to his crown of victory. We see that there in verse 8 when he says, "Finally." Finally. Here's those words of hope. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You see, this reward that Paul was looking forward to, it wasn't wishful thinking. But rather, these words of hope that he's writing about were assured words of his success. He recognized he fought the good fight. He kept the faith. He finished the race. And he knew because of that, the crown of victory awaited him. He knew his reward awaited him on that judgment day. And when you think about these words of Paul, not only was he able to speak these words of triumph and hope, which would have gave Timothy comfort when he read them, but it should also give us comfort, knowing, as Paul said, that this isn't just available for me only, but for who? He says, "For all." For all, he says, who have loved his appearing. Remember that, brethren. You see, we're still in the race. And we need to run that race with endurance. We need to continue to fight the good fight of faith. We need to continue to keep the faith. And we need to continue to keep running the race, knowing that if we continue to fight that good fight of faith, we keep the faith, that when we cross that finish line, that we too will be able to speak words of triumph and hope, just as Paul. And we too will have that reward awaiting us. But as we move on there to verses 9 through 13, we find words of personal request made by Paul. Paul writes to Timothy in verse 9 and says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." He says in verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed for Thessalonica." He goes on to say that in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." And he asked him to get Mark and to bring him along. And he says, "For he is useful to me for ministry." He has made it clear there in verse 13 as his request to bring the cloak that I have left with Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. You think about one's last recorded words, and when you think about some of the last words that a loved one may have spoke to you, I venture to say that they probably too spoke some words of personal request. I can recall that. I can recall some words of personal request being spoken to me. I mentioned Tom Wheeler earlier, and I remember Tom's last words to me before we said our goodbyes, before I was not to see or talk to him again. And you know what his last recorded words to me was? Stay faithful. That was his last words to me. No matter what you do, stay faithful. I venture to say some of you have probably recalled some last recorded words of a dear loved one, and they might have made this personal request to you to maybe likewise stay faithful. Maybe they made some other personal requests. Maybe a parent died. Maybe they made a personal request. Well, take care of Mom. Take care of Mom. Or maybe just opposite, take care of Dad. Maybe they made some other type of personal request. But nonetheless, when you think about one's last recorded words, often you think about words of personal requests being made. And even as we have Paul's last recorded words recorded for us here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see words of personal request. But not only do we see words of personal request, but we also see words recounting his past penned with warning without resentment. Notice that with me, picking up here in verse number 14. Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Think about that. You see, as we have Paul's last recorded words before us, we find words of Paul recounting his past. And you think about Paul's past and about how his past would have certainly included some painful experiences. One of which Paul mentions here in verse number 14 in regard to Alexander the coppersmith who had did him much harm. That still resonated with Paul, didn't it? But you notice, Paul wasn't vengeful about the treatment that Alexander the coppersmith gave him. He wasn't seeking vengeance, personal vengeance, but rather he was leaving vengeance to whom vengeance belongs. Did you notice that? He says, may the Lord repay him according to his works. But we also see where Paul in verse 15 gave Timothy a warning. He gave him a warning to beware of Alexander the coppersmith. Knowing that he gave Paul much harm, and Paul feared that he might do the same to Timothy. Because of the fact that he mentions here, because he greatly resisted our words. Obviously, Alexander the coppersmith was opposed to the preaching of sound doctrine. And Paul warned Timothy to beware. Again, thinking about maybe a last conversation you might have had of a loved one, maybe they recounted some of past experiences with you. Maybe as they were laying on their deathbed, maybe they talked about the past, recounted the past with you. Maybe they gave you some warning, some things to be on guard against, and just as Paul did Timothy here. But we also see here in verse 16, again, as Paul was recounting a painful experience and the fact that at his first defense no one stood with him, but all forsook him. Notice, he didn't hold resentment, did he? We see that in the fact that he said, may it not be charged against them. You see, again, Paul was one who didn't hold a grudge against those who who forsook him. It was like he understood. It was like that he was one who didn't wish any ill against them. And his desire was for it not to be charged against them, and the fact that they forsook him. And again, as we think about verses 14 through 16, and we recall Paul's last recorded words, we see words recounting his past, penned with warning, without resentment. But moving on there to verses 17 and 18, we see trustworthy words of confidence, words of praise concerning the faithfulness of the Lord. Notice these words with me, picking up here in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 17. Paul says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, while some men forsook him, as we learn there in verse number 16, the Lord never did. The Lord never did. And here Paul is recounting the fact in verse number 17 that through all that he went through, the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. Think about that. You see, these were words spoken of Paul that were trustworthy words of confidence in the fact that he goes on to say there in verse 18, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom." You see, Paul acknowledged the fact that the Lord was always with him, that he never forsook him, and he acknowledged the fact that he always would be. Think about that. You see, brethren, we need to understand, as Paul understood, that the Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Paul understood that. Paul was acknowledging that as he's speaking these trustworthy words of praise concerning the faithfulness of the Lord. And we too, brethren, need to understand that it's not going to be easy fighting that good fight of faith. Sometimes we too may feel like the Apostle Paul and be like the Apostle Paul, and all men may forsake us. We may feel like we're fighting that good fight alone. But be ever mindful of the fact that the Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We will never be alone as long as we fight that good fight of faith. And we go on to see here in the fact that God is trustworthy, and in times of peace and joy, and as well as in times of distress and hardship. You see, sometimes we think that God is only with us in the good times, when things are going well and there's peace and joy in our lives. But you think about Paul, and you think about what he experienced. You think about all that he went through. Those certainly weren't times of peace and joy for Paul, were they? They would be simply times of distress and hardship. But what did Paul acknowledge? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And although Paul knew that he was about to be put to death by the hands of evil men, he said in verse 18, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom." Think about that. Even when Paul knew that he was going to be put to death, he said, "The Lord will deliver me." He said that he will deliver him from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. And because of that, Paul goes on to say, "To him be glory forever and ever." Words of praise. Words of praise. As we think about Paul's last recorded words. But moving on there to verses 19 through 21. And as we continue to examine the last recorded words of Paul, we see that they include greetings and a request to greet others. Notice that there in verse 19, he said, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesorphus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Tromphus I have left and Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren." So here, Paul, as he's penning his last recorded words, his words included greetings. Greetings of those to whom he dearly loved. He wanted Timothy to give those greetings to his dear loved ones. And he also gave Timothy some greetings from some that was close to them as well. And again, when you think about one's last recorded words, maybe one's on their deathbed, and maybe you've experienced that, and one of the last things that you can remember them telling you was to go tell so-and-so, "I love them." Go tell so-and-so that I wish for them to keep on keeping on. Along that line. I venture to say some of you probably have experienced that, haven't you? And here in Paul's last recorded words, we find that they include greetings and a request to greet others. But finally, we find in verse number 22, in regard to Paul's last recorded words, words of desired favor. Here in verse 22 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes, as he's bringing this epistle to Timothy to a close, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." When I think about these last words, recorded words of Paul to Timothy, I think about these being affectionate final words to his son in the faith. Paul dearly loved Timothy, didn't he? He dearly loved him. And here his affectionate love and desired favor for him is seen in the fact that his desire was for the Lord Jesus Christ to be with him. You see, we don't know whether or not Timothy got to see Paul or talk to Paul before Paul was put to death. We don't know. But nonetheless, if he didn't, we have his last recorded words recorded for us here. And his last recorded words to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, were words of desired favor. Again, when you think about maybe your experience with a loved one and some of the last words that they may have spoken to you, I venture to say that they too were probably words of desired favor, weren't they? And you think about those words of desired favor that are often spoken as one is lying on their deathbed. You think about how they can create commitment, determination, and meaning to those who live on long after they are gone. And again, as we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, Last words can be significant for a number of reasons. And I hope you have seen that as we've examined Paul's last recorded words this afternoon. And as I'm confident that these last words of Paul created commitment, determination, and meaning in the life of Timothy, may they likewise create commitment, determination, and meaning in our lives as Christians today. May we continue to fight the good fight, keep the faith, and strive to finish the race. May we likewise be able to speak confident words of preparedness, triumph, and hope, just as the Apostle Paul. Friends, as we think about Paul's last recorded words, I ask, could you likewise speak such words if you knew that your life upon this earth was about to soon come to an end? Could you? Think about that. If not, you can have the same assurance, confidence, and preparedness as Paul by simply submitting yourself in obedience to the Lord today. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope that the Apostle Paul had. You can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we always remember the need to continue to keep on running that race with endurance. Remember to keep the faith. Remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus has promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one among us this afternoon who's already entered into that race which leads to life. But maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. We still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song that Bruce has played.